Hello and welcome to Frontier Fiction, an actual play Dragons podcast. We are coming to you all the way from the frozen north. It's not easy to stay sane in Alaska, so we get together with one of our favorite pastimes to let the voices and laughter in our heads up to play.
Oh, yeah. Who are you?
I'm Veda playing Solana.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm Wasey playing some dude named Dacian.
Is it Dacian? I'm Anna playing Marvelous Maeve.
Marvelous Maeve. I'm Colton. I will be the DM in this, our second episode of Shipwrecked, our one-shot adventure on the side. Quick little highlight of last time. I'll just give it briefly. Waking up on an island in the dark in monsoon season, deafening winds, the party struggled to survive and to seek some form of shelter. They braved the elements, were mostly successful. They were able to loot some bodies washed up on shore, and they have come up with essentially, currently they can weave some reeds and palm fronds. They have a fire going. They have two knives, two clubs, and a smattering of clothing. There, at this point, it is about 3, 4 p.m.-ish on the second day of the island adventure. What do you guys do?
Solana would like to start working on trying to make some type of basket backpack that she could carry on her back with like an open top for gathering things in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to say separate survival check only because you're figuring out straps and a way to make them stick and stay that won't fall off.
All right. Oh, wrong page. Okay. Nat 20 plus Ooh. 3.
Yeah, that'll do it. You kind of modify. I'm going to say you modify your sleeping mat so that your sleeping mat with a couple of I don't even know what you would call them. Basically, like woven sticks that you created can turn into a pouch-like backpack that could be worn over your shoulders.
Nice.
Or dropped and dismantled into a practical sleeping mat.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna have trouble. Anything heavy might rip or tear it, but for the most part, all the fibers are supporting each other, and it should take some wear.
Now she's going to make a necklace.
Okay.
This has been Arts and Crafts sign time with Solana.
Everybody's watching. She just cranked out a backpack, and she's doing something else, and you're like, oh, what is it? And she's like, it's a necklace. See? And she puts it on.
Dacian would have tried to clean the socks a while ago, just so they would start drying, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're gross.
Yes.
You can try to bring them back to life. I'm going to say this is a roll a D100.
Oh.
Is this one?
Yeah, you need both a D10 and a D100 to. To be fair, no one ever rolls these.
There they are.
Thanks. Oh.
That's right. 79.
79% of the socks are left after you clean them.
Sweet. Not too bad.
Like, is there bear, holes in them?
There's holes in them.
Mm-hmm. Can I see those for a second?
Sure. He hesitantly hands them over to Solana.
She's just going to kind of start, like, touching them. And if they're, like, I forget exactly, but if they're not super big holes, mm-hmm. they'll just kind of mend.
Ah. Cast the mending cantrip. Mm-hmm. What are the requirements of the mending cantrip?
Ooh, nice.
I just don't know. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Does it say V, S, or M?
V, S, M.
V, S, M. So it's verbal, somatic, and material. I'm assuming the material is what you're fixing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if there's anything you need in addition to that. I don't think so. So your hands are free-ish, and you can speak just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that works fine. Yeah,
awesome.
She stitches the socks up.
And it just has to be smaller than a foot.
Oh, yeah.
So that's definitely what...
Well, it can't be smaller than the foot or you wouldn't be able to wear it.
smaller than a foot of a tear.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yes.
Sweet. Thanks.
If there's anything else you need me to mend, I can mend a lot.
How about a broken heart?
I could try.
The other pair of socks?
Yes.
Cool. Hands them over.
Bloop.
Excellent Foley work. Bloop. Cool. The socks are in good shape. Yeah. You know, for military issue.
Mm-hmm. So, I've got... We don't have quite enough for a set of clothing for everybody, but if we want to divvy it up, we can divvy up what we have. Got a bit of... A couple of different jacket styles and a button-up. And then a couple sets of pants and boots and socks. Anybody have any particular interest in any of it?
Take a jacket or a shirt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The jacket, the big one set of jackets and shirt is a little bigger. The other jacket and shirt are a little smaller.
I'm going to look down at myself and look up and go, a little bigger, please.
Okay. He hands you the button up.
Okay.
Nice.
Then I guess you get the smaller set.
Awesome.
They should write it down or it doesn't exist.
Yep.
Smaller set of shirt and pants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I get any pants?
Sure.
Okay. Bigger pants. She's going to take what's left of the rope and use it to loop through the belt to hold up her bigger pants.
There you go. Daisy hangs onto the rest of it. Socks and boots?
Her next venture would be to make a pair of shoes.
Okay.
And then she'll let Maeve have the other shoes.
Sure.
Okay, sweet.
Yep. You'll be able to work on that tonight.
Cool.
Some shoes, sure.
Maeve would be looking around for any extra materials to build some sort of a shelter or food. Mostly food. He's going to focus on food right now.
Okay. So give me a survival check. You're just looking for anything edible, right?
Yes. Five.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You recall seeing crabs, but you don't find anything in the forest.
If she recalled seeing crabs, she'd go out to the beach and see if she could find them.
Sure, yeah. So right at the beach, along you can see where they were, and you can see kind of some lines in the sand like they've been scuttling around there. Give me a perception check.
11.
11. You see what is either rocks or crabs holding very still closer to the shoreline. Probably, it's hard to say. It's hard to gauge how far away it is.
She would pursue.
Okay. You walk up the beach for some time. As you do, just pat, 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 pat. You have your kind of stone wood hammer contraption, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that the rocks get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until you're like, oh, these can't be crabs.
Hmm.
And you get closer, and then you see one of them shift. You go, oh, they are crabs. And
how much bigger?
Two eyes pop out of the front mm-hmm. of one that's closest to you, and they're looking. It's hard to tell. They don't have pupils. They are pupils. They're looking around oddly insect-like, and the thing shakes some sand off of itself, and it stands up out of the sand, and it's about as tall as you are.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and it snap, snap, snap. Its little claws start to go, and it rears up a little bit, and then it kind of it fakes you out a couple times. It's about 30 feet in front of you right now.
Maeve is going to look back. How far has she gone from the camp?
You're about 20 yards from the camp.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to yell.
60 feet, yeah.
Dacian? Alana? Saladna?
Dacian comes walking, or comes out of, crawling out of the woods.
Sure. We're gonna have to roll initiative first, though. You guys are back in the woods, and she's not.
So. Oh, wait, sorry.
Oofta.
8.
5.
14.
Okay. So, we'll start off. Solana, you hear shouting nearby and can make your way towards the tree line if you like.
Yep, she would.
Okay. Yep. I'll say with your movement, you're able to reach the tree line and look out and give me a perception check.
11.
Yeah, you look up and you can clearly grasp what's going on. First you look left and there's nothing going on, and then you look right and you can see little Maeve and big crab. And you're like, okay, this is the situation. It's, like I said, 20 yards from you. I'm going to write that down. 20 from you to Maeve. Okay. And you've used your movement to get there. Do you do anything from how far away you are now?
I don't believe that she can. How many?
60 yards? Feet.
60 feet? 120 feet range on Firebolt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like kind of in line with Maeve, right? So I would risk hitting Maeve.
Yeah, it has partial cover from Maeve, and you would risk hitting her.
All right, she'll wait till she's a little closer and off to the side on the next turn to do anything.
Okay. And Maeve, it's your turn.
Maeve would cast Frostbite.
Okay.
On it and hurl a little ice mote at it.
All right.
It has to make a constitution saving throw.
It got a 19 on the die.
Probably made that. Okay. Well, she's got an extra move as a fighter, so then not a failed save.
Ooh, it would be an attack if you hit it with something. Okay. But casting a spell is a different... it's a different action, so you can't chain spells and attacks.
I have an extra action though. I have 2 actions.
Do you want to use your action surge?
I have like just a regular extra action.
Yeah, so you get an extra attack. You're high enough level. You also have action surge, which is an ability you can use once a day.
Okay, I'll use my action surge.
Okay. Again. All right.
And I'm also going to gain a giant. I'm going to turn into a giant.
Okay.
Seems like a good time for it.
Sure. So you grow bigger than the crab, and the crab's normal size again.
Squish.
I'm going to take my hammer, and I'm going to take a couple steps towards it, and just because my hammer grew with me, it comes with me, and then I'm going to smash it.
Okay. Roll.
Wow.
Oh, nat 20.
Yeah, that'll do.
Caliente.
So don't forget, all damage die are doubled, so you roll twice.
Okay.
Then add your modifier. And also your giant. So you add something. Your modifier is going to go up while you're giant. So like plus something for being big.
Plus 4? What? Plus more. Yeah.
Whatever your big
one
dice are.
1d6 to each. That's going to help a lot.
So it's 2 now. All damage dice are doubled.
Well, that is wonderful.
It is.
Nope. Yeah, rogues love it.
Mm-hmm.
With the sneak attack.
Yeah.
Sneak attack.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. An advantage. Okay, so I have 4... 15.
15 plus. Damage.
Plus my modifier thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that stuff.
The weapon in there.
19.
19 total.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So, what does it look like when you kill this thing?
I tried to hurl a little frostbite at it, and it just fizzled in the sand and missed. So I like shrug my shoulders and like roll them back as I take giant strides towards it.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting longer and longer as I take each step, and my hammer gets just gigantic as I wind it up as it's growing and whirl it over my head and just pop off both of its eye sockets.
All right. Yeah, cave in his head.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it keeps moving. It is dead. But it keeps moving. And it's going to attack blindly on its turn. So it's got disadvantage. It's quite dead. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
16 and 19. It'll take the 16. And then let's see if it hits you. I'm going to roll a d4 because it's just hopping around. Pick a number between 1 and 4.
3.
3? I rolled a 1, so it doesn't hit. Yeah. And it kind of trundles around. Dacian, and you come out onto this scene. You can see behind Giant Maeve, behind this kind of crab, which is now like kind of falling over on its side, and one of its claws is just like reaching around and snapping. There are a couple more crab-like shapes in the sand that are not unearthed. They're kind of dormant in appearance. What do you do?
He would look up at this giant Maeve. Does it look like Maeve?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just tall.
And look back at Solana and look at it quizzically. Kind of shrug his shoulders and start moving in her direction. It looks like she's got it under control. It's just he's not sure about her.
Yeah, yeah. At first, you know, you wonder if your eyes are playing tricks on you, because it's hard to tell how far away anything is.
Right.
But sure enough, the closer you get, the bigger the crab and Maeve get. It makes very little sense.
This is trippy, but okay.
Maeve is going to...
You called?
Sorry, I handled it. Maeve's going to grab the crab by the claw and, like, drag it behind her.
It's not your turn.
I'm just going to grab the claw and wave.
Okay. We can end combat. There's nothing else is attacking you right now, so you can do that.
I found dinner.
Sweet. Okay. How are we going to get that in there?
Maeve's going to like look down at the claw in her hand, look down at herself.
Can you stomp a way in?
She's going to like shrug her shoulders a little bit, sway back and forth. We'll find out. I don't want us to stomp too close to our camp. See if that might make a mess of things. I'm a little bit obtrusive in this particular form. She's going to drag the crab back up to the entryway and start like dismantling it while she's still huge. Easier. And handing you bits of crab. But they seem small to her, but they're going to be very large to you.
Large.
How do we cook this thing?
We've got a fire.
Okay.
Handing bits of crab over and over. Just keep it in the shell. Roast it in the shell.
We can roast this. Okay. Go to shot. See what happens.
All right, you guys take some bits of crab. There's a lot of chitin here. Again, I mean, I suppose like it's as tall as you are. Probably twice as wide as you are tall. So there's a lot of good chitin on this thing. The claws, I mean, it's crazy. The claws of this thing are bigger than your torso. The muscle that would work them, you know. And so you imagine it could probably chop you in half, given the chance. But it is quite dead. And Maeve snaps some of the legs off, which are easier to tow. You find if you go foot first with the crab leg, you can pull it through the foliage a little bit better and get them back to camp. And you guys do get a couple of the crab legs back there. Claws would be trickier, and the carapace itself, not happening.
Maeve would be trying to like use whatever she could find to like pry open the carapace to see if she could make like a big old shelter out of it. Even if she couldn't get into the woods.
How long do you stay big for?
A minute.
A minute?
She can do it from little.
From little? Okay. Yes. From little.
She's right. Still wiry and fierce.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Give me a strength check. Once you're smaller, this thing is something to contend with. You definitely know it's easier to go in from the bottom of this thing than it is the top. But there's a lot of going to do.
Just going through the face.
I'm going to send my unseen servant in through the face.
There's not a cavity. You're trying to pull his, you know, his pectorals and his guts out. You're trying to remove the head from the legs, pectorals, gills, and guts. Yeah. It's not like he's a fort you can crawl in.
That's the goal. Yes.
Yeah, you make some progress at it. You know, it's each little ligament, each little base for the legs really takes some work, but you take some rocks and smack at them and pull chunks of it out. Then the inside, as you can see, like, you get about half of it cleared, and it's just basically filled with crab soup. The smell is rich, salty, fishy.
She's just going to keep doing that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a long, long evening.
Mm-hmm. She would also, like, transport bits of crab up to camp for them to take care of and, like, give instructions that are not super accurate. Like, make sure you put this bit in salt water so it can keep. You can turn it to crab into jerky if you, like, put enough salt water on it. Mm-hmm. Just throwing out recipes as she hauls armful of crab back and forth.
Oh, yeah, survival checks, Lana.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hides it.
Five.
Crab jerky sounds amazing and totally possible.
Well, okay, I'll try that.
All right. Good job, Selena.
It's okay. I guess she's submerging some of the crab and salt water.
Okay. Yeah, you guys goof around with what you got. The sun, which is not very visible behind the clouds, is apparently going down as the dim light turns darker and darker and darker. You guys are busied with your various little tasks trying to improve your situation. You're successful in cooking up some crab meat, so you guys will not be hungry, and your camp is improved. I'm just going to give you the mechanics here so you guys can see what we're working with. Essentially, in order to get a night's rest, you need a DC 15 Constitution saving throw.
Okay.
Now, if you do things to improve your situation, that DC goes down, and you guys have done some things to improve your situation. So you have the semblance of a basis, like a very basic bushwhack camp going. So I'm going to say that's a minus one. You have some clothes. So I'm going to say who's got some of the clothes on?
Everybody has some clothes on.
Something, okay. Yeah.
That's a minus one. And then you guys have eaten today. So that's a minus one. And I'm just going to write food, camp, and clothes.
And you finished up a tarp, right?
Yeah, that's your basic camp.
Cool.
Yep. So that's
part of the basic camp.
So the only person who's not gotten a full night's sleep is
Dacian.
And so he's on one day with no rest. That's going to start to have consequences if he doesn't get some rest. Everybody can roll for tonight. You need to make a DC 12 Constitution saving throw in order to successfully rest.
Mm-hmm. I got a 12.
I got a 3.
A 3?
Mm-hmm.
I got a rock. 6.
A 6. Oh, man. So, Dacian, you're on 2 days with no rest, and Solana, you do not sleep very well. So it could be for any number of reasons. There are no shortage of reasons to not sleep well, even with your semblance of camp and a bit more of a hard day's, well, not more of a hard day's work. You were definitely more tired when you crashed last night. But the noises, perhaps the knowledge that there are giant crabs.
That would do it a little bit, probably.
You feel a little safer behind the protection of the tree line with the narrow gaps between the trees and the trunks and the bushes. But there are giant crabs on this landmass. So that is a little bit upsetting. And Dacian, maybe the smoke blows in your face all night. Maybe it's giant crabs. Or maybe it's that Solana and Maeve's attempt at crab jerky, which they had you try first, does not settle too well in your stomach. It was obscenely salty, and you guys are noticing that you're thirsty. Mm-hmm. Day two, the crab meat is juicy, and that awakens within you deep thoughts of running water. You probably lap water out of a horse's hoof print.
How about a crab's carapace?
Crab's carapace. It's a very salty brine. But you can do what you want.
How would my, like, being able to switch out meditation for rest work? Would that be able to help me in any way?
essentially, no. You're not able to successfully meditate is the way that looks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not even to do within 8 hours. It's whether you can be successful or not.
Got
in
it.
In elements. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not about how long, it's about if you can. Yeah. Good point to bring up though. The morning comes And you can only tell because you can start to see little purple bits between the trees.
Is it still raining?
It's sprinkling now and then, but mostly just wind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let me roll, actually. This is day, what, two? This is day three, isn't it? Slept mm-hmm. twice. Mm-hmm. Day three. On an 18 or 19, it stops, and it is an 8.
Okay. So it's still sprinkling.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Oh, yeah. It's still storming.
Okay.
Maeve is going to go out into the sand again and turn into a giant and start disassembling the crab. See if she can rip it in half.
Mm-hmm. Give me a strength check. I think you have advantage because you're a giant. Strength checks work.
Yes, which I need.
Gosh darn. Sorry.
It's okay. Be a 9. Strength, nine. Not athletics, right?
Yeah, it's strength.
Bummer.
Sorry.
9.
Yeah. So
Did you use your modified strength as a giant?
Oh, I didn't.
I think the modified is
advantage. The advantage, yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You are able to dismantle all the legs and the underbelly of the crab, but you're not able to, like, break the head in half.
Would there be any of the underbelly that would be a kind of concave in nature, something that we could catch water in?
Yeah, so there's portions of it where they're essentially, like I keep saying, the pectorals of the limbs of mm-hmm. the crab that could be used like a bowl.
Perfect. Easily. I would be going for those and try to disassemble them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would look at the ocean, remember that there are crabs there, and probably shake my head a little bit and go to find some puddle or something like that to wash them out a little bit with. Or just okay. hold them out in the rain to desalify them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Hang them up
mm-hmm.
to get rained on.
Yeah.
And then in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a survival check.
That would be a critical fail.
Critical fail?
Which would be a 4.
Yeah. the pieces that you get, they will collect some water. Critical fails don't make a difference in ability checks, except for they make you roll low. In an attack, it's a guaranteed miss. But 4, they won't hold much water. The way you dismantle them, they're cracked here and there. But they will hold some. So if you hang them up in the trees, then you might be able to tip them this way or that. Your experience in trying to do it is whichever way you tip it, it seems like the water runs out the other darn side. But you're able to get some sips here or there out of it.
Yeah, I'd be standing under the side that the water ends up running out and like open my mouth like an upside down drinking fountain. Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
It tastes fishy.
I think we're going to need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired.
Yep.
There's things to be done, though. Didn't you guys rest?
Nope.
Daisy just looks at Maeve and blinks slowly.
Silent is just, like, slowly working on a pair of shoes for herself.
Okay.
Yep. Very slowly, though.
Slowly and tired. Give me a survival check.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
19.
Mm-hmm.
You're successful in creating some shoes.
Cool.
Yep. The traction won't be wonderful, but you won't need much traction on sand, and you won't need much traction in undergrowth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Palm shoes.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys do?
Maeve is getting tired of her carapace and would proceed to explore deeper into the woods. All right, Dulcian, Solana, I'm going to go find some, see what's out this way.
Do we want to go that way or do we want to walk the shoreline to see if we can find a river?
I like shoreline idea.
All right.
See if we can find some water.
Gotta come out somewhere.
We've got a good landmark for our camp now. Don't have to worry about losing it. Nod at the carapace.
She's gonna assemble her basket and put it on.
Okay.
Off we go.
Dacian would collect a few good-sized rocks that he can throw.
Do you guys go left or right?
Opposite direction of the crabs.
Left.
That's what Solana would do.
You guys agree?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. You move along the beach and just rhythmic footfall, pat, 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 pat. It slowly, ever so slowly, begins to get warmer. At first, as you get motion going, you start to get warmed up a bit. Your muscles come to life. And then, especially Dacian, you realize how exhausted and tired you all are. But Dacian is in particular, as you're plodding forward, and it's like, oh my goodness, how long do we have to do this for, you know? And the shoreline, it looks so exactly identical. Each time you can see the next curve, the next bend, in or out, and you make a little mental note to reach it, and you're curious around what's around the next silhouette, around the next corner, and it's more of the same, more of the same, more of the same, until long later, you're not sure how long into the day, things have gotten a little bit brighter. The wind has died down a little bit. You must be kind of around the right side of the island. You can see that the sand is a little bit wider, so the beach is kind of a larger area here. And the tree line comes at you a little bit shorter. And looking up, you can see what looks like a mountain peak. Not, it's hard to tell how giant, small, but it's definitely a rock peak that you can see over top of the tree line, since you're able to stand far enough away from the tree line to get a look over top of it.
That looks fairly promising. Get a lay of the land, see kind of what's laying hereabouts.
Yeah.
If we can get up there.
Might take a while, but...
Yeah.
I mean, we're not really missing much back at the camp.
Except my tarp.
Fire and a place to sleep. We still need water.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no water back there.
I guess we keep going.
Up we go.
I can make another tarp, I guess.
Jason just starts plodding along.
Along the beach?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys keep moving across the beach, and you notice the mountain peak. It kind of, as it you taper more and more to the left, it's steering inward. There's less points where the beach steers outward into, like, apparently, you know, like out towards the right, out towards the ocean. And the size of the corners, the rounding of this island or land structure becomes more evident. You can get a sense that you're walking left more than you are right through the terrain. And you notice that the mountain peak shifts a little bit as you seem to almost round the structure somewhat, and then it kind of grows closer and closer and closer as you're walking, until eventually you can tell from the tree line that you're nearing the mountain by following the beach, or at least the peak that you can see there.
Sweet. I guess we're going in the right direction.
Looks like it.
Let's keep going.
It's a long trek. You guys have been walking for, you would estimate, about 6-7 hours at this point. And the tree's thin, and you can see where they actually are, like, a little more sparse, popping up small and unhealthy out of the sand in kind of a rocky area. And then you can see the foothills of this mountain. And it is exposed to the sea. It's kind of sheer on the side that you're on, very steep. And you don't know about further up along it, but it is stone, mostly hard rock. Kind of looks like it's very jagged and a bit porous, and it makes you think it might be holding water in various pockets on its structure.
Absolutely. He would head whatever looks like the easiest route to it, he would try to go for.
Yeah, so cutting through the trees a little bit, you guys... this mountain looms up over top of you, and your feet are falling on sand, and then they're falling on grass, thick tufts of grass and reeds and stuff, refuse from the forest floor. And then there's the first patches of stone, which is little tiny plants or roots growing out of it, clumps of moss, and then just exposed rock as you're climbing up. And it's not very high up the side of this mountain. You can see where there are pockets, almost like magma bubbles, or little worn out divots where water has run across it, where it's holding fresh rainwater, and you're able to drink it up.
After drinking some of it, you'd be like, oh, that feels so much better. Now I'm really tired. Where do I sleep?
Yeah.
Maeve would, after drinking her fill, like, keep climbing higher. Let's see if there's anything more sustainable than little puddles.
What would we hold it in?
If we can find, like, a stream or a river or something that we can camp next to and move all of our stuff over there.
That would work.
Or we can drink water out of a dirty boot.
I like your idea, but I'm tired. Okay, we'll try that for a little bit.
You can rest here if you want. I could go all day.
That's fun.
We have gone all day.
I think we should rest.
Okay. You guys have a good rest. I'm just gonna just keep going straight up the mountain. I'll stay in sight.
Okay.
Probably.
So two of you way behind you see Maeve plodding up the mountain all by herself. It's very steep, but you're fed and rested. So it's just slow going. Why don't you give me an athletics check?
No.
Ooh. Why don't you drop your die on the
floor? I didn't. I dropped it in my lap.
Okay.
I got a 9.
A 9? Total?
Total.
Oh. I was waiting for more.
Yeah, I rolled a 5. Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, 8 is like your average human in this day and age and what they're capable of. So 9 is a little bit better than your average human. You are hiking up the side of this mountain. It is slow going. You have to resort to picking a switchback trail, just making your way up. You look down and your friends are always drearily closer than you hope they'll be when you look back and look. You guys are watching her struggle her way up, 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 up. And it's a pretty tall mountain, but you get, after a couple hours looking down, you're about halfway up to its summit. You can see pretty clearly on either side of you, so you're not worried about things coming towards you, though you do have the idea that up on the side of this exposed mountain, anything in the trees might be able to see you. And you look down back at the trees, and you can see pretty much as far as you can look to your right, just forest. Various terrain, definitely sloping downward from this mountain, and you can't quite see around this mountain, but it almost seems implied by the terrain that there's that the center of this island is rather a high place, and the fringing outward almost as though the whole island itself is just a mountain in the sea. Yeah.
Is there any divots or dents in the forest where it looks like there might be rivers, lakes, water running?
Give me a perception check.
I'm so good at these.
It's dim light, so it's difficult.
20.
Nat 20.
Which means 20.
It's very dim, and you peer and you peer, and you're looking out over the writhing sea of the forest far underneath you and far away from you, and you don't see any holes, you don't see anything clearly indicating water, but what you do see, and you have to look for a moment at first because the wind is whipping, but you're pretty certain that you see black smoke rising far, far away on the other end of these trees.
Farther than where our campfire would be potentially still burning?
Much farther. Mm-hmm. You could almost pick out, thinking of the mundane and monotonous rights and lefts and rights and lefts you took around the beach, you can almost guesstimate as to where in this tree line the camp was. And this far supersedes the distance. And the giant crabs.
Can I see the giant crab?
Just no, the tree line is obscuring the shore over there.
Bummer. Okay. She'd also be looking to see if she could see any sort of like ships or shipwrecks hanging out in the ocean.
Scanning the ocean.
She's up there, yeah.
Okay, you look out in every direction, and it's a very, very, very dark, dark horizon. So anything far away would be impossible to see. You don't see anything close.
Hmm. Okay. She would scamper down the mountain.
Go trot back down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, she comes back. It's been about 2.5-3 hours for a little escapade. Insight the whole time, though she did get a ways up there.
Mm-hmm. Dacian would be working on creating another, like a shelter, the area to sleep, and maybe setting, finding some brush and trying to build a base for a fire for when Maeve gets back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thinking that, help with that
even if she found something, it would be a bit of a trek for him, and he would like to sleep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't you guys, you can either give me separate survival checks, or one of you can aid the other person. Doesn't really matter.
You want to roll?
Sure, I'll roll.
Go for it.
Been rolling good?
If I have been. But watch me roll really bad now. So I get advantage because...
Yeah.
Aid. Awesome. Got 2 18s.
Okay.
Ooh, plus 3, so 21.
Wow, okay. Nice. Jeez.
Go
somewhere. Yep. You guys, down at the tree line, walking distance from the water, you guys throw together something kind of out of the majority of the wind. And the wind is lower over here than it was, especially next to the mountain.
Nice.
You can hear the torrent of the wind. You can hear kind of the roar of the forest nearby, but it is quieter. And you take some palm fronds and lash them up between some trees as a windbreak, and you find some kind of, with a lot of work, you're able to drum up some dead wood here and there that you can get together, and it's prepared for somebody who has a source of ignition to make a fire. It's damp. It'll take some doing.
Mm-hmm.
Solana probably would have used her firebolt to start it.
Sure, give me a survival check with advantage.
Oh, right. Didn't know that, though.
I got a nat 20 and a 3.
Okay. So you'll take the 20 plus 3, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, you can do that, too?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. He just shrugs, like, whatever.
So she just kind of starts loosing some fire bolts carefully into the trunks of one of the large trees that you have pulled up dead. Mm. And until it starts to smoke and smolder a little bit. And with you shoving some dried this and that, you're able to find underneath this or that. On top of it, you're able to get it smoking and then burning. A little fire kicks up into the air.
Oh, good. Good night.
Okay. Solana would like to find some type of pebble and weave it into her necklace.
All right.
Is this like a stone?
Yeah. Not an issue.
Awesome.
So back, it's you're calling it an early night. It's probably like 4 p.m. or something. But you have a -4 with water, clothes, camp, and food to the constitution saving throw to be able to sleep tonight. If everybody would like to make it.
He would love to make it. We'll see whether or not he does.
Got a 6.
15.
15, 6, and...
13.
13. Face it. You have a night's rest, and so you do not face exhaustion.
Sweet.
Yep. Maeve, you, for the first time, have no luck sleeping.
What?
I got 15. I have no luck sleeping.
You got 15? Oh, yeah. Solana?
I got Solana.
Ah, okay.
It's like, gotcha. No. No. I sleep
too. I'm on day 2 of night.
Day 2, yeah. My goodness. 2 days without adequate sleep, and you are feeling it. One more day, and you'll have to make a check to make a, it'll be a level of exhaustion. So.
Soft city slickers.
Yeah. You guys awake early in the morning, and Solana, like, you're almost glad. It's like you're tired of trying to sleep in the wet, cold, you know, scary terrain. I'm tired of trying. It's like, let's get on, let's die or something.
Solana's getting grumpy.
Live or die, I don't know.
Jason would wake up and remark, oh, that feels so much better. I feel like a new person. All right, did you see anything when you were up there yesterday, Maeve?
So, unfortunately, as far as water sources go, nothing obvious. They're just kind of the same forest, and as far as you can see in the direction, looks like the mountain might go around a little bit more that way, so we could trek up a little bit more to see if we're interested. Fun fact, little maybe less than fun fact, but there was some dark black smoke over on the far side of the island. Definitely wasn't our campfire. So whether it's sinister or civilization, hard to say, but it's something.
Okay. Well, we could try to sneak up on it and decide before we just walk right in. But you say there's more to see on this side of the island? Maybe there's something else over there?
I could only see this side of the island, so if I'd have to trek up a little farther and go around the ring of the mountain to see if there was anything over on that other side. So since we're here, might be worth checking on.
Yeah.
I guess we'll climb the mountain.
Sweet. Let's go.
Climb the mountain. Yep. Everybody give me a quick athletics check.
Nat 20.
Ooh. Why did I get that for my sleep? 22. Mm.
22 for me too.
17.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You guys, tired or not, make your way up the mountain pretty well. Partially because Maeve picked out kind of the secret to climbing mountains like this, and that is the switchback routine. Mm. Partially because you're there to encourage each other, and also somewhat from your curiosity over what is over the mountaintop. And the day moves into its brighter setting. This is day 4. I need to roll, and we'll see. 7 on the die. It is still storming. As you reach the summit, you can't quite see down the other side, and the wind up here is, and it is a force of nature through and through. Like, you duck low, you're worried about your woven clothing articles perhaps becoming somewhat dismantled, so you kind of protect them a little bit. And plodding forward slowly, you can see the island unfold behind you. There's one peak that is in front of you that's taller than the one you're on now, and it's probably half a day or a day's hike from where you're at to the peak, the second peak of the second mountain. Looking down, you can see the forest to your left unfolding at the feet of the mountains, and to your right, you can see what is a lagoon. So there is an inlet where the salt water comes into a cavity of the island that's rather deep and slightly curved. It tucks right up into the armpits of the largest peak and the one that you're on. And it also, it appears that there is a lot of a stretch of beach up in there, and almost looks the way it is designed, like there's a cliff, a cavity, or a cave or something at that intersection of the mountains. But more interesting than that, you can see, you almost miss it in the darkness and the dim light, but there is a ship that is moored in this lagoon. It is small. It is a Navy vessel, and the Navy is a new branch of the military in your country. The ships are not great. People have been land dwelling. They fought over lands for a long time, and it wasn't until about 30 years ago that people got curious about the other side of the sea based on legends they heard from fishermen who were out there in very small boats. So, like, when you think of like war vessels or mighty ships, that's not what you're seeing here. That's not what the military really has. That's not really what exists yet. Ship technology has not been invested in. This is a little flat-bellied boat, probably 20 feet wide and 60 feet long, very barge-ish. And you notice that the mast, there's two masts. One is completely destroyed. The second one is broken in half. and you can tell that the sails are nowhere to be seen, and you cannot tell if there's any movement on deck or not. But there is a ship moored in this lagoon, and it is a military ship. The same military that were previously your very unhospitable captors.
Hmm. So if we head that way, pointing at the lagoon, we may end up in the same predicament we were in earlier.
It's not appealing.
No.
True.
But these are.
But depending on
bananas are
how many they are, there are, or the surprise that we have over them, we may be able to overcome and take what they have.
And the fact that they moored in that little harbor there, it's a pretty good indicator that there might be some resources. If they found any fresh water, if they have any supplies brought with them.
Or they're not doing very good and they just needed some place to shelter. That boat does not look like it's in great shape.
It would be good to know if they're here or not. We don't want to run into them unexpectedly.
And we are very exposed in this mountain right now.
Yeah. So back towards the fire or forward towards the lagoon? Or someplace else?
I'd say lagoon.
Yeah.
That boat's probably our best bet off this island if we wanted to try that.
I would love to be off this island.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Give me an intelligence check, everybody.
I got a 3.
21? Not 20?
12.
12. And 21 and a 3. Solana, it occurs to you that this boat, odds are, is either, it's probably doing at least one thing while it's here, and that would be looking to make repairs, because that boat's not going anywhere in the state that it's in. And Dacian, it occurs to you also that repairs are difficult to make in a monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, repairs or no repairs, they're not going anywhere in a monsoon. So right. As long as the weather holds, that boat is going to stay right there. And in the condition it's in, it's not sailing anywhere. And it would take quite a bit of labor to get it to the point where it can be directed. It floats, clearly,
mm-hmm.
just fine. But it's not sailing anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. That's what you deduce.
Okay. He would relay some of that information, saying that we probably won't be able to get off this island if we just take what they have anytime soon. But if they're still around, we can let them do the repairs and then take it, maybe. But it would be nice to see how far along they are, what shape they're in, what they have for resources, so we know when to come back.
Hmm.
Feel like
that's a good plan.
If we moved our camp a little bit closer, went back and got some of the materials that we'd been compiling, then we could keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm. Check out the other side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
See what's over there too.
Yeah.
What that fire is.
Mm-hmm.
Might be worth it. We gotta start somewhere, though.
That's a lot of walking.
It is a lot of walking. But we'll I slept great.
I did not.
Oh, sorry. Mm. She's gonna pat you on the head.
Thanks.
We'll get you a pillow or something.
Let's get off this mountain. It's freezing.
It's not cold, terribly right? cold.
Oh, I thought you said it was cold wind.
Very windy.
Very windy. It's very windy, and I like my basket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What direction do you go?
Down toward the lagoon.
Toward the lagoon. Okay. It's not going to be that much hiking down before you're going to reach it.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Well, the idea going down would be to try to be cautious so that we're not spotted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And to get close enough to see what condition they're in, mm-hmm. what they have for resources, and how, guessing by the shape they're in and apparent resources they have,
mm-hmm.
How long some of these repairs may take.
Well, as you're walking down, you're very aware that in the event someone was looking this direction intently at all, there's nothing to hide behind. You're okay. completely exposed to the ship.
Okay.
And the ship is completely exposed to you because it's on water and you're on the side of a mountain. It's just rock, exposed rock, right?
Hmm.
But you guys creep and make your best effort at remaining low, and it is pretty far away. As you get closer, you can actually see lights inside of windows on the side of the ship, and you can see what appears to be a lantern hung inside of, or is hung like on a pole outside of a door, kind of a cabin at the back of the ship. You can see some figures moving about, but it's impossible to count them at the distance that you're at. You can just tell that there is at least three sources of light and some figures moving around on the ship. You don't see any supplies on the deck. You don't see any camps on the little ribbon of beach at the bottom of the mountain you're descending. There's a larger, wider stretch of beach on the other side, and some more tropical, there's like algae growing over the water. There's a different kind of volley of sorts of flowers and fronds and plants growing in kind of the more secluded, safe harbored area that this island is providing with the saltwater inlet. And lots of algae and slime and beautiful flowers kind of blistering and blowing about in the wind. And there's a larger stretch of beach over there, so if they have a land camp, you surmise they might have placed it over there, but they don't really have any particular reason to camp on the land. You can see there's a rowboat on mm-hmm. this side of the vessel. You can't see the other side to see if there's a second one.
Okay. Mm. Shall we get a little closer and see if we can hear voices? See if there's even anybody on that thing?
I mean, says sneakily as we can, yeah.
And from a distance, I mean, he looks down at himself. We look a little like we belong with them.
At a glance.
A slightly bedraggled version, yes.
From a distance.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Shipwrecks happen.
Sounds right. Risky to me.
And for those of you that don't have their arms covered, he looks at Solana. The story is that the slaves somehow got free and made us trade places with them. But then this monsoon caught up to us and wrecked the boat, and we overcame the slaves, but we didn't make it with the boat in one piece. But we made it to land. Sound good?
Perfect. Sounds good.
Sweet.
All right. So with a plan to move forward socially,
mm-hmm.
a plan to move forward stealthily, and then a plan to improvise should the need arise, you guys descend the final stretch of the mountain, moving towards the water and left along the shore to grow closer to the boat that is harbored mostly safely up towards the inside of the lagoon, and that is where we will call this episode.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you for joining us in tonight's adventure. Don't forget to tune in Tuesday, 7 p.m. Alaska Standard Time to catch the next installment of Frontier Fiction. My name is Veda, and I've been playing Solana.
I'm Wasey. I played a character named Dacian.
I'm Anna. I play Maeve.
I'm Colton. I've been the DM, and this has been the second episode of our little side non-canon adventure, Shipwrecked. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Toodles.
See you guys next week.
Keep your stick on the ice.
dead.
Whack.
Oh.
Yay.